Hello again, I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Peter Stone, who's formerly the head of the Money and Politics team at the Centre for Public Integrity. He's been writing about money and politics for over two decades as a journalist for the Legal Times and the National Journal. He began his career at the California-based muckraking magazine Ramparts, and his latest book is Casino Jack and the United States of Money, Super Lobbyists Jack Abramoff and the Buying of Washington. He's now writing a new book on Citizens United and super PACs. Welcome to Background Briefing, Peter Stone.
Good to be with you.
And yesterday, the New York Times had a lead editorial, Words Not Spoken, going through the many issues that are in the Democratic Party platform, but not necessarily will we hear about them on stage at the convention, like gun control, dealing with climate change, dealing with the minimum wage, etc. But the one that I think they single out is a demand for campaign finance reform by a constitutional amendment, if necessary. Do you think that the president tonight is going to address this issue, which I would think, you know, he's really got a dog in this fight, doesn't he? He's being outspent massively by the Republicans.
I think he probably does. I mean, he certainly has a dog in this fight. But I think in terms of the array of issues he's probably going to be talking about, this at best will only get a brief mention. I mean, they have been on record saying that they would like some kind of campaign finance reform. They've switched their position on this at different times. I think early on, the key issue for the administration was the High Court ruling, the Supreme Court ruling, Citizens United, in early 2010, which opened the door for corporations, individuals, and unions to give unlimited amounts of money to outside groups for ads and other electoral tools, directly advocating for a candidate's election. This was something the Republicans capitalized on early, much more rapidly than the Democrats in the 2010 election. This cycle, we have seen outside Republican groups vastly outraise and outspend Democratic outside groups. We're talking about these new super PACs, which have to disclose their donors, the most prominent being the one that Karl Rove co-founded, Karl Rove being the former top political advisor to President George W. Bush. And these groups have, as I said, raised hundreds of millions of dollars together. Rove's group, American Crossroads, and an allied nonprofit, which does not have to disclose its donors, super PACs do, but nonprofits don't, hope to raise and spend $300 million. So the Democrats have been way outspent on this. They've belatedly last year, set up some of their own super PACs. They're still being outgunned, and the administration was in a bind because the president early on criticized the Citizens United ruling, and many Democrats said it was a poor decision. They thought that it would lead to unfair elections, and they criticized the court's ruling on multiple grounds. But that being the law, they've now faced a situation where they've had to adjust their views, or they have adjusted their views, to the reality of needing outside groups to support them. So the president has countenanced these groups now, has said that they're all right, and we've had we've had a growth in the last year or so of some of these outside organizations formed by former top aides in the White House to President Obama. So whether they raise this tonight, is an open question. I think the president may at best may give a brief reference to the fact that going forward, we need to do something on this issue.
So do you think that this, I get your point that he was critical about the very nature of this Citizens United decision. And I recall, of course, in the State of the Union when he was criticized that just shortly after it happened and Judge Alito mouthed something like not true, which I think in retrospect as we get more distance and see the consequences of that ruling, it's pretty hard to believe that those Supreme Court justices, if they didn't intend it to have this outcome, I don't know why they're not redressing it. They had an opportunity and they turned it down. So the only thing you can assume is that either the majority on this court, the conservative majority in this court, really believe that the right wing in this country should have an unlimited advantage in a very cynical way, or they're somehow deluded. I mean, what's your reading on why they, Kennedy in particular, didn't take up this opportunity to change this law?
It's really hard to say. I mean, Kennedy, in retrospect, looks very naive for his decision, particularly his argument that there would be transparency about these donations. We've learned that there, you know, for various reasons, there is not transparency, and there are legislative efforts underway, led by the Democrats in Congress, with some very minor. Republican support. There are efforts underway to pass legislation that would lead to more transparency, disclosure of donations. But this certainly isn't going to happen this year. There's no way it's going to happen before the election. I imagine that that effort will be joined again next year, partly depending on, obviously, who wins the election and who's controlling Congress. But I think the I think this battle is going to be a multi-year fight to adjust that decision or to change that decision.
So, again, I'm speaking with Peter Stone, who was formerly the head of the Money and Politics team at the Center for Public Integrity. He's been writing about money and politics for over two decades as a journalist for the Legal Times and the National Journal. His latest book is Casino Jack and the United States of Money, Super Lobbyist Jack Abramoff and the Buying of Washington. He's now writing a new book on Citizens United and super PACs. It's interesting that Jack Abramoff really has had a road to Damascus conversion and is doing his best to expose these ugly practices in Washington, D.C., where money clearly rules. And it's clearly not having an effect, is it?
Well, his conversion is, it's hard to read just, you know, how thorough his conversion is. I mean, it's there are a lot of people out there who are skeptical about it, and I think it may be a making a virtue out of necessity, basically. I mean, he's out of prison. He went to jail for several years, convicted of fraud and conspiracy to corrupt public officials in 2006. Anyway, he got out about a year ago, and he's been talking on radio now. He's got a show, I believe, where he's does talk about reform issues, and he seems to be championing many reforms. He certainly speaks from experience as somebody who was in the middle of a lot of influence peddling that went way beyond, you know, what's legal. And so, you know, just how sincere it is, I'm not totally convinced, but he is talking a tough game now about reform, and I think to some extent he probably believes it.
Well, he's been very useful in exposing what an absolutely despicable, hypocritical little creep Ralph Reed is. But guess what? Ralph Reed's made a comeback. I mean, is it just that there's so much money and it's all so shameless that it doesn't matter, that nothing incremental can be done about cleaning up Washington? Something radical has to be done?
Well, there have been changes. I mean, there were changes in Congress. Congress passed laws that were enacted after the Abramoff scandal that limited certain types of influence peddling, limited the kinds of money that could be spent to buy members of Congress meals, outlawed certain practices, outlawed certain kind of trips taken by lobbyists and members. Lobbyists paying for members' trips and meals was outlawed. But there are a lot of loopholes, and there are other ways to exert influence in Washington. And we have a big new loophole, as I said, that was created by Citizens United, where now individuals can make contributions that go way beyond the legal limits of what can be given to an individual campaign. We're talking about campaign contribution limits of $2,500, And we are seeing seven-figure checks being written since 2010 by dozens of individuals. So the spigot has been opened much wider for certain kinds of influence. And I think we're going to probably see another cycle of reform coming up not too long from now, maybe after this year's election.
Well, Peter Stone, let's return to the conventions and President Obama's speech tonight. Covering the Tampa Republican convention earlier, I spoke with a campaign finance reform specialist on how much money was floating around. In other words, what we don't see on the cameras is all of these many, many parties that go on and seminars, et cetera, all of which are paid by corporate interests. And, you know, for example, the nation's biggest fracker in terms of fracking for gas, Chesapeake Energy down in Tampa, gave out natural gas-powered cars to everybody that they could find. And this kind of stuff goes on. I take it it's going on in Charlotte, right?
Well, sure, it's going on in Charlotte. And that's going on for, you know, conventions for many, many years. We've got, you know, again, dozens of corporations from major industries, whether it be energy or pharmaceuticals or financial services, who host events, who sponsor events. What's different this year, and I talked about this, and I wrote about this in Tampa, and it's happening in Charlotte too, is that we have these outside groups, the ones I've been talking about, who are now raising and spending tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars on ads in battleground states to help Romney, and to a lesser in, you know, the Democrats are trying to catch up on this and help Obama. They're hosting events. They're hosting briefings for would-be donors. They're trying to raise money, as they did in Tampa. The same thing is going on in Charlotte. Briefings are underway for potential donors. And the idea is to get the Democratic groups, which I said are way behind the Republicans, into the game a bit more. They're not going to catch up. There's no way they're going to catch up this cycle. But they're trying to raise, you know, tens of millions more post-Charlotte so they can do more ads and, you know, mount at least a challenge in some of the key states to what the Republican groups are spending. So we've had donor briefings by Karl Rove and others in Tampa. We have donor briefings going on in Charlotte, that some of which are being led by include members of Congress. The rules have a lot of leeway at these briefings. I mean, candidates themselves can attend these briefings. They just can't ask. They just can't personally ask for unlimited amounts of money. We had Mitt Romney before the convention a year and a half ago when some of these groups were set up, when a super PAC to support Romney called Restore Our Future was set up. We had Romney going to some of their fundraisers and talking at some of their fundraisers. He left quickly. He didn't ask for money himself, but surrogates asked for money. In Charlotte, we've seen something interesting, too. We've seen Rahm Emanuel announced that he was leaving as honorary chairman of the campaign. This just was yesterday. Announced that he was leaving as honorary chairman of the campaign to help the key outside groups, the ones that can raise unlimited money, raise funds in the home stretch here. So this is what's different at this year's conventions. Corporations have long hosted events. That's not, you know, that's not exactly new, and that's part of the business of conventions.
Well, Peter Stone, I thank you so much for joining us. I realize that we're not going to hear much about campaign finance reform from the president. I think it's a mistake on his part because, for example, the Occupy movement in many ways is motivated by a plague on both their houses because money rules and it doesn't matter which party you vote for as long as they're both owned by the same interests. So if he were to distance himself, I think it would make some impact with a lot of people who are sitting on the fence.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens later on.
Well, thank you for joining us, Peter Stone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Again, I've been speaking with Peter Stone, who was formerly the head of the Money and Politics team at the Center for Public Integrity. He's been writing about money and politics for over two decades as a journalist for the Legal Times and the National Journal. He began his career at the California-based muckraking magazine Ramparts, and his latest book is Casino Jack and the United States of Money, Super Lobbyist Jack Abramoff and the Buying of Washington. He's now writing a new book on Citizens United and super PACs. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again on Sunday at 11 a.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.